Hi, everybody. This is Empress Constance, and we're doing my fourth episode of A Candid Chat, and my very special guest, one of my favorite mistresses to play with on the phone, Miss Olivia, is here with us today, and we're going to discuss masturbation.
Hi, Olivia. Oh, Miss Constance, thank you so much. When you talked to me about doing A Candid Chat, I was so excited, one, because I absolutely adore talking to you. And when you said, what would I like to talk about, I thought, wow, let's talk about what we usually talk about. Let's talk about masturbation, because I do it, you do it. He does it. She does it. They do it. Everybody does it. Masturbation is kind of like breathing. It's not talked about in so-called polite company. But let me tell you, I know what's going on in the boardrooms, the bedrooms, the cars. You do too. We hear all of this kind of stuff. And who doesn't like a fantastic orgasm or being put in chastity for a mistress?
I don't know very many people who don't. And I had to laugh at your in polite company, because I must not be very polite, because I talk about masturbation all the time.
No.
Friends,
no,
family,
I'm not
strangers.
Like situationally appropriate. Right? Like, I'm not going to mention to the when I go down to the public market to get vegetables, wow, yeah, I really feel good today. I just masturbated this morning and then popped in the car to come get a zucchini. Are they fresh? Although we both know one particular caller who is famous, absolutely famous, on our adult social networking site, Enchantrix Empire. You know who I'm talking about, John Mellencock.
Oh, he's our fruit and veggie man. Yes, absolutely.
Yes, and he loves, we don't normally talk about content of calls. So we're very, very good about keeping people quiet, keeping people's fantasies quiet. I mean, it's a very intimate thing that we do. So we don't talk a lot about specifics of what happens on the phone and that kind of thing. But John Mellencock, he's an exhibitionist, and he loves it. Of course, when I said
note, zucchini,
I immediately thought of him.
It's true. We'll have to send him a little note and let him know that he's been mentioned when we're discussing masturbation. He'll be like, so hot for it. So hot.
Oh, he will love that. Yes, indeed, he will. Now, I've got something coming up. So I want to mention it. I know that this is going to be posted on April 23rd, 2013. Just 3 days from that, April 26th, which is a Friday, 2013, will be my featured mistress day.
Ooh.
And I'm very excited about this, because that means people who have called this service before get 10 minutes free with me, especially if they can get me.
Absolutely. Are you going to be accommodating any appointments during that time, or is it going to be first come,
nope,
first serve?
First come, first serve. And actually, I'm always kind of picky about getting appointments, taking appointments. Because here's the thing, and I know this has to have happened with you. I get no-shows, and it makes me friggin' crazy. And when I stopped, when I really revamped my appointment policy, was when I set my alarm clock, got up in the middle of my sleep schedule to do an appointment with someone who didn't show up and then told me later, oh, a friend called and asked me to go to a movie, so I went to the movie with him.
Ooh.
And I feel very strongly, I'm not a bitch. Mistress is never a bitch. But, wow, I've revamped it. So now I have a very firm, a 10-minute hold policy if I'm willing to grant an appointment. 10-minute hold policy if they're delayed longer than the 10 minutes, not only do they lose the appointment, but they also lose the ability to make an appointment forevermore. They get one chance.
With you on that. If you fail to make it for an appointment, unless it's an extreme emergency,
Well, and I know the caller.
Sure.
Right? Like if I know the caller and we've done a whole bunch of appointments and stuff like that, and I can get that it's an extreme emergency, then that's different.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's not like we go, oh, everybody who calls us, if you're not here in 10, I do the same thing. I give about a 10-minute leeway. If they're not there for their appointment in 10 minutes, past the time that we're supposed to start, well, then I'm going to be available for everybody else. And if you make it 20 minutes late and you're able to get a hold of me, fantastic. If not, sorry. And, if you do miss an appointment with me, I will not take another appointment. And I've changed my policy. I used to say, I'll take appointments anytime. Well, I don't do them before like 10 a.m., and I won't do them after 10 p.m. It's just not good for me to be on at those hours.
Mm-hmm.
Those are my.
And you know what? I think this is one of the reasons why we're playful. And this is a candid chat, so let's be candid about it. I don't sign in if I'm not feeling playful, frisky, fun, able to play. I don't sign in when I'm tired, if something's going on that's distracting, I'm an adult, so I manage my moods very well. But say if something really bad happened, I would contact dispatch and say, all right, I'm not going to be here today. Please let people know, tell them I'm sorry, and I estimate being back on Friday. And then I would go take care of the personal stuff that I need to take care of. But people, a lot of people are really sad that I no longer log in late at night. But I get up between 4 and 5 a.m. Eastern time. So I have a 6 a.m. start time. I am always awake, generally worked out. Now, that just sounded naughty, didn't it? I might have masturbated before my coffee, just to get me in the mood, or gone to the gym, worked out, and then, boom, when I sign in, I'm ready.
Right. I feel the same way. I'm very much the same way. If you see me logged in, then I'm 150% here to have a good time, enjoy my callers, and enjoy my day. If you don't see me signed in, doesn't mean necessarily that I'm having a bad day, but it just means that I don't fake it. I don't fake being happy. I don't fake being sexy or turned on. If it when it's happening, it's happening. When I'm here, I'm 150% here.
You know what? That's one of the things that I absolutely adore about you. You are so friggin' real. And can I tell you, I love your posts on Facebook. I know we're supposed to talk about masturbation because I'm the one who said I wanted to talk about masturbation. And so we've kind of veered off. I apologize for that. But I have to tell you, you're so fucking cute on Facebook, especially when, remember when you did that post on the Enchantrix Empire Facebook page? And you spelled boobs BBOS.
Oh, my God. And I didn't catch it till hours later. And I'm like, BBOS? How did I not see that I didn't spell boobs right? Like, oh, well. I am not perfect.
I still giggle. Obviously, I still giggle about that. I love real. I love that you're real on calls. I love that your passion is real. I love that, can I tell you, you're a kinky fucker. And I mean that,
Olivia,
in the highest
about
regard.
You, the same can be said about you, that we're two peas in a pod in that aspect.
blog post on my blog, Experienced Mistress. I did a blog post a while ago, and it was actually from a caller who said, "Do you think I'm a pervert?" And I'm like, "Well, how do you mean the term?"
Right.
And he said, "You know, like in a bad way." And I said, "Okay, because here's the thing. I actually think of myself as a pervert,
right.
but I think of that as a compliment."
Right.
And he, "Ooh, I never thought of it that way." I'm like, "Well, think about it that way."
And I think there is a good pervert connotation versus, I mean, there's some dirty perverts in our world. But when I call somebody a pervert, it's like a compliment because I'm very much a pervert myself. Join the pervert club.
Yeah. Naughty Constance, the pervert in the yellow panties. Ooh, maybe that will be my next chapter in the erotic fiction fest.
Ooh, by the way, your story is getting to everybody. I was in chat last night and said to somebody who didn't know about it, and I said, "Where have you been? Under a rock? How could you not know about this going on?" So he must have been reading it during the chat and came back, "Oh, my God, Olivia's story. Oh, I can't wait for the next part." He's like, "I'm going to be reading these on the train in the morning."
Is he going to be on a train?
Yes.
Oh, my God, because, Constance, it's a stocking and high-heeled shoe tease
right.
on a train.
Right. The start of it started out where... The
Ooh.
Guy saw the legs and the shoes and was like, "Ooh."
On the train.
Exactly.
And he's
so going to
be
all,
reading it on the train. Oh, he's going to have a hard-on.
I told
Oopsie.
Him to make sure he carried something with him that whatever day he reads it so that he can cover the extreme wood he'll have when he gets off that train.
Yes, I'm thinking a laptop case.
Something. Something.
Because
there are going to be a lot of men masturbating.
I don't think
that
would, you know, that would, like, you shift it just slightly and it's, wow, look at you. Although, you never know what can happen. You know, trains are very sexy things. I love trains.
I have been on a few in my life, and I've had quite a few fantasies about train rides and strangers on a train and that sort of thing. And so I totally relate it to your story. And I was like, oh, and then you get to the end and you're like, damn, I wish it was, you know, I wish I could read more now. It's like, you know, when you start reading a book that you really are into and you're like, well, I'm not putting it down. And now you're making me put the book down and wait until Friday for the next part to be posted.
Yay! I was so nervous about trying my hand at erotic fiction. So incredibly nervous about it. Because, you know, my blog, I post on my blog all the time. I, you know, do thoughtful comments to the comments. I post in Enchantrix Empire, respond to emails. I write all the time. But it's not fiction. And I was so nervous. I actually posted on Twitter. I'm Mistress Olivia One on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And I posted on Twitter. I said, oh, my God, I have a Word document up. I'm looking at a blank page. I have no idea what I'm going to write about. And I think part of it is I read so much. I love to read that I just got gridlocked. I know I'm a good storyteller in person, but I just got gridlocked.
Well, I hope that those fears are gone now because you're a fantastic writer. You realize that, right?
Well, no, I don't. I got, actually, Wellspanked sent me an email after I tweeted that. He sent me an email. And when I'm here, I keep my email open. So obviously, I'm not responding to emails on a call or during a text session. But otherwise, my email is open, so I respond to emails quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And I got his email, and I opened it up, and he said, you know what? Don't write for anybody else. Write for yourself. Write what you know. just enjoy it. And so I just shut my eyes, and I took the train down to New York City. So trains were kind of in my mind. And like you, I have lots of fantasies on trains. And I love traveling masturbation fantasies.
I don't know
what it is. It's like maybe it's the stranger, or maybe it's the shifting of the boat or the sway of the train cars, or, oh my gosh, let me tell you, because you and I are both talking to Pet Bumpkin.
Oh,
let me tell you, I had a fantasy about his truck.
Ooh.
I was in the truck. It was good.
I will tell you from experience of having had a one time many years ago, a boyfriend who was a truck driver, that the cabs can be a lot of fun. a lot of fun.
Ooh, Miss.
And boy, oh boy, can he masturbate for you, that bumpkin, huh?
Oh, let me tell you, I absolutely adore him. He's just such a fun pet, isn't he?
Absolutely.
And I love with him and the other guys that call us and stroke for us. You know, when I say to them, I want you to stroke for me, and I hear that, oh, yes, mistress. Ah, be still, my girly parts. They just start to quiver, and my lips just curl up, and I start to smile. I think that's one of the reasons why I created the Cockstroker Academy on my blog, experiencemistress.com. Every Saturday, I'm changing around the date of when the Cockstroker Academy posts will post, but once a week, I post masturbation assignments, or a guest mistress, who is a guest instructor at the Cockstroker Academy, posts masturbation instructions, because I just love it that these guys are so willing to masturbate for us.
Right.
Isn't that great?
I think it's fantastic, and, you know, going back to Bumpkin again, he absolutely makes the most delightful moans, groans, grunts, gasps, all of it. I was like, oh, keep going. Ooh, ooh, I love that. Ooh, do this, do that. And I changed things up for him, and he was like, oh, I got goosebumps. And I'm like, oh, I love it. You know, like I'm all turned on and excited. I mean, I was like, no wonder Miss Olivia loves you. I mean, no wonder she's like taking a shining to you, because if this is what she gets to hear during one of your masturbation sessions with her, she is one very lucky woman. Love the vocal boys.
I am. Because, you know, not all of the calls that we do are masturbation. I mean, they're femdom calls, giantess calls, cross-dresser calls, sissy calls. Just, it runs the gamut all the way to things that sort of qualify as sex therapy.
Right.
You know, and I've even done on a call before, he sent me a resume and I rewrote his resume. It was not a sexual call at all. I rewrote his resume and his cover letter and sent it back to him.
Now that's
it was a job
service.
Search call.
That's full service right there. I don't care who you are. That is full service.
Isn't it? Yeah. So the calls can really be, oh, gosh, you know, how can this is happening with my wife? What can I do? My penis is too small. Is there any hope for it? You know, that, I mean, you just have to, like, be real with them and say, no, there isn't. Don't get a penis extender. It won't work.
And make sure you use that tongue a lot.
Let me teach you how to lick pussy, because then you might have some hope of capturing her attention.
I actually have a client. He's from Ireland, so we do take international calls. And our first couple of sessions, he's younger. He's like 23. He's a little bit younger. Our first couple of calls were, you know, guided masturbation calls. Well, then he met a girl, and he was completely and totally insecure in bed. And we did several sessions where I explained to him different ways to pick up on a woman's signals to you, how to lick a pussy perfectly, like the things that I like, and, you know, okay, maybe she's not going to like it a little bit as aggressive as I do, so you need to start out slow, and these are the signs you need to look for. They're still together over a year later, and the day after they had sex for the first time, he said, "I've never been told that I was an incredible lover." But
oh,
I was told
my
that
God,
I
that's
an incredible
so great.
Lover. So we do it
Don't
all.
Don't you love relationships like that?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
I have this one guy that I actually coached him through meeting a girl, his courtship, his engagement. And then he called me and he said, "I can't talk to you anymore, not the sexy stuff, because I'm getting married." He said, "I don't suppose there'd be any appropriate way to invite you to the wedding." And I'm like, "No." And you know what? I wouldn't even mention me
right.
to your wife. But it was so sweet, the sentiment of what he was saying.
Right.
You know, we're really lucky. We have the best callers.
I agree. And you're able to develop a relationship with them within the confines of, you know, what it is. Obviously, I'm not running off to New York to meet a special client or anything like that, but we're there for them, good times, bad times. I've helped several clients through bad divorces where, you know, and I'm talking, you know, years that they're like, I still can never thank you enough for how you helped me through this and how you were there for me during this time. And it doesn't always involve the sexy talk.
Now, let me ask you something. Before you started doing, quote, unquote, phone sex, and I'm not sure that we actually even do phone sex, you know, whatever that is.
Not in
right?
the typical sense of the word, anyway. Correct.
Yeah. What did you think it was going to be? Because this month is my 5-year anniversary. That's why I'm doing a Mistress Day this month. This month is my 5-year anniversary, and when I started in phone sex, I thought it was just, ow, ow, harder, baby, ow. You know, sort of like an ex-hamster video. I'm on the phone and I'm performing an ex-hamster video, right? That's what I thought it was.
Right.
And it's not.
Here's the deal. LDW Enchantrix is not your typical phone sex. I worked for another company for 4 years before coming here, and it was very much the ooh, do it to me harder, you know, all these things. When I came to LDW, it was because I was searching for something more deep, something more classier, so to speak. It's hard to feel very classy when you spend your day oohing and ahhing and screaming and yelling on the phone. And
well,
when I found LDW,
I just
was blown away. Blown away.
I just think that that would be, like, fucking boring, faking it all day long.
It's very shallow. It's not very deep. You know, it's very shallow. Now, I was the type of person, because you know me well enough to know, I established relationships with people and did have long-term clients there as well. And it became more than the ooh and the ah. But 80% of the calls were ooh, ah, ee, you know, do it harder, do it deeper. Yeah, you're so big, you're huge, you know, all that stuff. And I felt very unfulfilled with it. And I felt very like, oh, you know, it was fun at first, but then the novelty wore off. I'm looking for something better. I really like this genre of work. And to be honest with you, one of my clients there said, "You really need to check out LDW. You would be perfect."
Wow.
So I did, and I never looked back. I mean, what we do, it's called phone sex for lack of people understanding exactly. But, I mean, we're entertainers more so than that, and we're confidants, and we're friends. I mean,
muses, therapists,
yeah.
Naughty playmates, educators. Sex educators. I bet you never masturbated at your other place, did you?
No.
I masturbated this morning on the call. I'm not going to tell you who it was with, but I masturbated this morning, and it was so fucking hot.
Love that. Now, for me, when it comes to our masturbation calls and mutual masturbation, you can't call me randomly for a 10-minute call and expect me to honestly masturbate with you.
Oh, yeah. No, actually, girls' bodies don't work that way.
Exactly.
You know, if you call and it's like, mistress, I want you to do this, this, and this, and then I want to hear you come. You're going to get acting.
But with those clients, and I'm sure your client this morning was someone that you have an established rapport with those clients, when they're like, oh, I want to try something a little different. Now,
Constance, tell me more.
If you're someone who is a foot worshiper and I'm shoving my heel in your mouth, you probably won't get me to necessarily masturbate with you. I might masturbate at the thought of dominating you. But if you're someone who does guided masturbation, vanilla type calls, and we've established a rapport and we do a call and the mood starts, you know, I know you feel this way, Libby. You hit a point and it's not always the same point in a call, but he says something or you say something, and the next thing you know, you're like, ooh, making me tingle. And then you're like, keep going. And
you know
the
what?
Thing, you know, you're both having amazing orgasms and just awesome.
That is so true. And I try and keep, you know, I try and keep the focus enough on him to, like, stay coherent, right?
But
on the call this morning, I let one rip. I'm like, oh, fuck yeah! And then I'm like, oh.
Then you feel all giddy and silly, like, oh, my God, I just had an orgasm with you. And
yeah.
But I will
sometimes
say
sometimes I'll tell people and sometimes I won't. It depends on the call. But I'm actually unusual. I will also masturbate on some dominatrix calls because I find when that power exchange starts to swirl. Now, I don't like passive-aggressive anybody's. If the person is passive-aggressive and we're doing like all kinds of processing, that's not particularly sexy to me. So, you know, there's no way I'm touching my girly parts during a session like that. But when it's power exchange and it's like frisky, fun, playtime, and, you know, I'm saying do this and this, and I'm hearing the, you know, the gasps and the moans, and, you know, there's something that happens. It's that swirl that you were talking about. And I begin to get engulfed in it because I'm a mistress in real life. I play in the fetish scene in real life with real life partners. And there's something that happens where it's no longer mistress is doing something to you, or there's, I don't know, something that happens between two people that actually becomes larger than the two people involved, larger and more intense. I don't know exactly what it is, but I know it when I'm in it, and wow.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. I will say this, though, for those who are like, oh, she doesn't masturbate on the call with me. Many times I may not physically masturbate with you, but you have inspired many. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I'll get off of a session with somebody that they needed my full-on attention. So I couldn't take the attention away, even though I was turned on to pleasure myself. They actually needed my full-on attention to get them to their happy place. But afterwards, you can bet that I'm going to take the next 15 minutes and rub one out because you turned me on so much. And let's not forget the effect it has on my personal sex life.
Now, before we get to your personal sex life, I want to give you a prime example of what you're talking about for me. Doing giantess text sessions. You know, when somebody does a section through the sexy texting site, there's no way if I'm typing IM, there's no way I'm going to physically be able to masturbate.
Correct.
But let me tell you something. After, and there's especially one particular giantess IMer, I have masturbated to the giantess fantasies. I can't tell you. And I talk in my sleep.
Dangerous.
And I talk in my sleep, and one of the things that I woke up my partner mumbling, "Oh, you're so small. This will come in handy." Could you imagine? Oh, and one time, I apparently was answering phones in my sleep because, and then I did a Homer Simpson, because I said, "Hello, this is Livia. Woke up my partner." And then I said, still in my sleep, "Did I say that out loud?"
Well, I did a poll on EE about it. I have actually had dreams about clients, whether they're callers of mine or people that are on the Enchantrix Empire or that I chat with or see in the chat room. I've actually had dreams, some of them sexual, some of them really fucked up, but I've actually had dreams, and I wake up in the morning and I'm like, wow, what was that about really? Like, what's happening here? Like, wow, okay, cool. And then, of course, I have to reach out to that person and be like, "You're not going to believe this, but I had a sex dream about you last night." "Really? What did I do?" I said, "Well, it wasn't really what you did. It was what I was doing to you."
Exactly. Yeah. I think, you know what? I think that really goes to show just how invested we are in this.
Right.
You know, I feel so privileged to have these intimate conversations, these intimate relationships. And it's not all about, you know, somebody who calls on a super long call. That's not it. There are people who have been posting comments on my blog for years who have never called, but have never called me. They leave thoughtful comments. I feel like I know them. I care about them.
Sure.
You know, I love their comments on my blog. I think of thoughtful replies. You know, I have full-bodied relationships. So I don't think that what we're doing is actually fantasy at all. The emotions are very real. Now, the boundaries are also very real. I'm
right.
Never, ever, 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 ever going to meet anyone that I meet on the phone. That will not happen, period, end of story. Like, categorically, no, not going to happen. But within that, as long as they're appropriate, I am willing to share, really, my life fully.
Right, right. I always say this, people think that we turn it on and turn it off. Well, that's not the case. Although my clients and the people that I meet through chat and EE and on my blog and stuff are very much a part of my life, they are not my entire life. But that doesn't lessen the fact that they are a part of my life. I have shared good times, bad times, you know, happy, sad, the whole gamut of emotions with some people that I've never spoken to on the phone, but because they are a frequent person to our sites, maybe they call somebody else, you still actually are actually a part of their lives. I know it sounds crazy to some people, but how can you be so intimate and talk about so many intimate things and share ideas and stuff without feeling a bit of closeness to that person and feeling
absolutely.
Like they're a part of your life.
Absolutely. I absolutely agree. And even something as you know, quote, simple as a guided masturbation call, that's an intimate thing. A lot of times these callers are saying things to us, especially the cross-dressers, the sissies, the transgendered girls. They are saying things to us, or the submissive men who are alpha males in the other parts of their life. They're saying things and languaging things to us that they've never spoken about to anybody. Wow.
Yeah.
What a privilege to hear that. What a privilege to be part of that.
I feel very honored that they let us in and they share the things. And like with masturbation, I mean, I don't know how you were raised, but I wasn't raised in a closed-minded family, but I was raised in a family that masturbation is something everybody does, and it's okay, but you do it in the privacy of your own room and alone. So for me, being someone who's a part of somebody's masturbation ritual is a huge, like, no-no turn-on, because it goes back from how I was raised to it's, no, you should do it alone. And here I am actually talking to somebody, hearing them, experiencing their orgasms and everything with them. That is such an incredible turn-on for me. I just find it amazing.
I absolutely agree with you. Did you know that Masturbation Month is coming up?
May is Masturbation Month, correct?
May is National Masturbation Month.
Ooh,
you know, I like that because it comes after April. So you get screwed by the government April 15th when your taxes, you better have your taxes in, April 15th. But then in May, you can talk about getting screwed by mistress. I mean, it could be a masturbation call with a strap on. All kinds of things. May is National Masturbation Month. And actually, I have a poll on Enchantrix Empire asking people to vote about the stroke-a-thon. I think, I haven't decided it for sure, but I'm thinking about organizing a stroke-a-thon, which is all about masturbation. Yours, mine, theirs, his, hers, his, hers. Like, doesn't that sound fun? A group grope, so to speak.
Love it. Love it. I was a part of the last stroke-a-thon we had a couple years ago. It was a lot of fun. I actually met a couple new-to-me clients via the stroke-a-thon that I still speak with. So something about watching a man stroke their cock for you on webcam that, you know, it kind of bonds you, seals you. You can't unsee a nice, big, beautiful, shiny cock being stroked for you. It's just you're like, the next time they write you and they're like, hey, are you available? Oh, hell yeah, I am. Let's go. I've already gotten taste. I want more, you know.
Exactly. Exactly. So in thinking about organizing it and, I don't know, the prospect of watching. Ooh. You know, I love the people that go on cam.
Yeah.
I'm definitely auditory. But, you know, there's a myth that women aren't visual for erotic images.
Total myth.
That's actually a myth. Women love to see erotic images. And there's very few things more erotic than watching. Oh, especially a lubed-up cock that's all glistening and shiny. I totally agree with you, Miss Constance. Woof. That's a BDSM term. Woof.
And even for those who are too shy to get on webcams, I still love them to be vocal. And if I can hear just how wet your cock is, such as Beth Thumpkin the other day, I'm like, I can hear you. I can hear how wet your cock is. Keep going. Like, that is such an I'm picturing a penis. I'm even though I'm not watching him on webcam, I'm hearing so much that is painting the picture for me, and I'm like, oh, this is awesome. Keep going. You know, I could hear that.
Mm-hmm. Or even if I can't hear the stroking. Like somebody is stroking without lube, sometimes you can't hear it. But even if they don't say a whole lot, you can sometimes hear this.
That's it.
Whatever their version of the gasp moan is, you know what? I hear that with my ears, but I feel it with my pussy lips.
Exactly, exactly. I don't think, you know, we're in the business of talking sexually for the most part for a living. But I don't think our clients, or some of them, most of them, some of them do, but some of them don't realize just how hot it is for us, even if they're not saying sentences, because sometimes, you know, men get hard and it's hard for them to form a sentence, and I get it.
I love that. Actually, when you ask someone, how are you? And he answers, I'm like, oh, yeah, tell me more. And then he tries to tell you more, and he goes, you know, when he's not even speaking any recognizable language, I swear to God, I'm drenched. My pussy is soaking my panties. I think that is just to bring a fun, strong, wise adult, especially an alpha male in other parts of his life, to just quivering jelly like that is like, oh, catnip.
Yes, yes, it absolutely is. I mean, I have a panty fetish. I have hundreds of pairs of panties, and there's a reason for it, because during a 4 to 6 hour shift of taking calls, I will probably change my panties 4 to 6 times in a shift because they're perpetually wet. And there's no shame in my game. I get turned on. I get very turned on.
And I think this is an added perk. Some people get daycare, extra days off, time and a half for overtime. We get to be sexually aroused.
We get to masturbate. What other
we
job
get
can
to
you
masturbate
make a living and play with yourself? It's amazing.
Masturbation month is 12 months of the year for us.
Exactly. I don't need health insurance. I play with myself every day. I'm healthy. I'm good. You know?
So what do you tell people when people in the vanilla world ask you what you do?
Well, all my friends and family know exactly what I do.
Me too.
There's no secret in it. And I worked for LDW for about 6 to 8 months before I actually divulged it to my sisters. And I was very nervous about Tom. I don't know why, because we were raised very open-minded. And when I did, oh, I could totally see that. My friends, oh, I knew you would do something like that. I could totally see you doing that. So it says to them, I mean, I used to talk about sex at my vanilla job all the time. I mean, I at the time I would call my man from work. I'd be like, hold on a second, I need to call my man because I need to get some tonight. And they'd be like, are you kidding me, Constance? And I'm like, no, hold on. I'd be like, baby, take a nap. When I come home, it's on. And they're like, you're just something else. So, so, but when other people, like, you know, my favorite clerk at the store, well, what is it you do from home? I tell them that I help people on the phone. I do customer service. And I'm not lying. I don't think it's something that, because honestly, if I said to every single person who asked me that I'm a phone sex mistress, many of them have a preconceived notion of what that means. And with LDW and what we do, it's completely different from your typical 1-900 do me baby number.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I wouldn't talk about, I don't know, private stuff with just casually with anybody anyway. I mean, I'm very situationally appropriate. I'm very big on that. But, you know, what I tell people is, oh, you know, I do blogs and writing, and I also say the same thing, and a lot of customer service. And it's kind of shocking to me the number of people that don't follow that up and ask a question.
When I joined my gym, I was there about a week, and I had a personal trainer, and, you know, I had to set my hours with the trainer so that it didn't affect my work and stuff, and she finally said to me, well, what is it you're doing for a living, Constance? And I told her flat out, I'm a phone sex mistress, and she's like, what? And I'm like, yeah. So then, of course, one of the other ladies, I ended up being at the gym an hour past my session was done, sweaty and panting, explaining to these ladies, and they're all, like, fascinated. They're like, that's amazing. That's awesome. Oh, my God, that's incredible. And I'm like, yeah, it is. Now I have to go because I have a client waiting for me at 2 o'clock, you know.
You know, I'm kind of surprised. Well, look at the 50 Shades of Grey and how popular that was. And that just absolutely exploded. And most of the readers were women. I am constantly surprised at the number of so-called vanilla women who are just absolutely fascinated by this. I think a lot of women wish or would like to get out of the narrow box that they, their family, society has put them in. I know for a fact a lot of men love to get out of that box and take a vacation from all of the, well, it's kind of fake, you know, where she maybe has had 10 partners, 20 partners, 30 partners, 40 partners, and yet acts a virgin until the third date or fifth date or third month or 6 month, right? Like, what is that? That's pretty disingenuous. So people are doing, like, this weird dating dance. And then each of them ends up kind of dissatisfied. Have you had female callers call you?
I did at my previous company. I had an actual regular female caller. I've done a couple calls here at LDW where it was a husband and wife, and I kind of guided them in their play and help the wife be a little bit more aggressive because she was a little unsure about being aggressive and exactly what do I do. And, you know, I find that I absolutely adore when a couple calls me because it shows me just how open they are in their relationship. And instead of, you know, somebody sneaking around or hiding what they truly want to happen here, they're very open about it. And, you know, and I find the women to be shy.
Yes.
Very, like, you have to, like, almost pull it out of them. But once you get into it and in one particular case, the husband wanted to be spanked and, you know, I kept telling her while she was doing it the sexy things about it. Instead of focusing on, oh, my God, I'm spanking my husband, how about the feel of his hard cock against your bare thigh? How about the delightful little yelp he lets out every time your hand hits his bottom? Think about the effect you're having on him, which in turn turned her on, and then she was more open and forthcoming, and, oh, yeah, now I want him to lick my ass. And I was like, you know, order him to do it. Just tell him to do it. And, you know, once she did it and he fell right in line, and, you know, I often say that positive reinforcement with kink play is a necessity. If I didn't have it in my earlier years when I first started doing kinky things with a partner, I wouldn't be the woman I am today.
And absolutely.
Being able to separate, okay, he just licked my ass, and it's 6 hours later and you're at dinner, to be able to separate what happened in the bedroom compared to what's happening in your relationship.
Absolutely.
So important. So important. And if a woman... if all women, and you and I both have women in our lives that just do not think the way we do, and it's almost impossible to get them to think that way, but If they all realize that what happens behind that bedroom door, no matter how wild and kinky it is, that on the other side of that bedroom door is a normal, so-called normal, stable relationship,
yes.
And that you can have both worlds without it, you know, it's not going to be 24/7 kink with married couples. Most women are not into that, and, you know, but in the bedroom, you can be as kinky as you want. And then outside the bedroom, you can have a very normal, nurturing relationship.
You know how I refer to myself? A lady in the living room, a chef in the kitchen, and the fucking slut in the bedroom.
Amen to that.
And I'm all of those things. I wouldn't want to give up any of those things. You know, this candid chat, Constance, has just been amazing. I have enjoyed this up one side and down the other. Thank you, sweetie.
Thank you. I knew it would be a lot of fun. I knew it would be a lot of fun. And before we end it, let's give everybody, when are you typically available for calls and the exact addresses to your, do you have more than one blog?
Oh, girlfriend, I now have four blogs.
Oh, give
my
the roll
main
call.
Blog, and I post on all of them. My main blog is experiencedmistress.com. Experienced with a D, experiencedmistress.com. Then for the girly girls, crossdressersphonesex.com. Make sure that you put the S on crossdressers. So crossdressersphonesex, all one word, .com. Then, oh, speaking of naughty boys, the cum eaters, coachedtoeatcum.com. And then, because you mentioned it earlier, I'm a big fan of vanilla sex. It doesn't have to be all swinging from the rafters upside down with a ball gag in your mouth
right.
and
right.
a strap on in your ass. I think vanilla sex is also just great, snuggly, warm, and sweet, and tender, and sensual. So I have vanillatees.com.
And when are you typically available for calls?
Oh, right. Thank you. Generally from 6 a.m. until 3 p.m. Monday through Friday. I will add in some weekends. I do take appointments, but only if it's right at the start of my day. So I'll take a 6 a.m. appointment, a 6:05 appointment, even a 6:15 appointment. Other than that, I tend not to take appointments during the day. Sometimes I'll stay a little bit later for a special caller. Sometimes I'm here just later anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I don't generally log in on weekends, but that's flexible. It all depends on life.
Sure.
And I'm really good on experienced mistress, you know, putting down when I'm going to be away for a while. So, like, you'll see my birthday trip, you know, I'm going to be gone March such and such to such and such, whatever I said, you know, and here's why, and I'll be responding. So I'm pretty easy to find.
And if they want to set up a pre-call kind of communication, they can reach you at olivia@enchantrixempire.com.
Yes, and I will answer your email.
Well, this has been an absolute blast, Olivia. I can't thank you enough, and I'm sure all of those listeners out there are now excited because they got to hear us talk for an hour.
Ooh, and maybe one or two might have masturbated. You know what? If they hadn't, they need to go check out our audios. That'll get them all hot and bothered.
Or they could simply just call the two of us because I also work days. maybe not as early as you, Little Miss Early Riser, but I also work days, and I will say this, Olivia is a fantastic, fun, sexy, just amazing partner on the phone. So do not be shy to call both of us because we'll show you a really good time.
We absolutely play amazingly well together. Frisky, fun, sexy, flirty, naughty. Ew.
And I have no problem doing you, Olivia, ever. So you love when guys are like, are you okay with the two of you? I'm like, oh, hell yeah.
And you love it when I do. You're just slipping my fingers right inside the front of those panties and just pulling them down, bending my knees, sinking slowly to the ground right in front of you, my hands moving over your breast, down your belly, on your hips, pulling your pussy to my face. Oh, well, they have to call to get the rest of it.
Yes, they do. Wow, what a way to end it. What a way to end it.